The Golden Age of Radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the Golden Age of Radio, Life with Luigi, starring J. Carroll Nash from 1948, Carolyn Day Detective, and The Adventures of Babe Ruth from 1934 with sports reporter Steve Martin. Stay tuned for the Golden Age of Radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, Carolyn Day Detective and The Adventures of Babe Ruth from 1934 with sports reporter Steve Martin. Right now, Life with Luigi, starring J. Carroll Nash from 1948, as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
From Chicago, we invite you to enjoy life, Life with Luigi, a new comedy show created by Cy Howard and starring J. Carroll Nash. A year ago, when Luigi Basco left Italy to start his new life in America, he promised his mother that he would write her and tell her about his adventures. So now we look over Luigi's shoulder as he writes another letter to Mama Basco in Italy.
Dear Mamma Mia, Chicago is a very fine city and full of very fine people. It's very interesting for me to stand in front of my store and watch people walk by and guess what they are by the way they walk. Yesterday I watched a man. He walked very fast. He's a banker. Then I see a man. He walks very slow and look very sad. He's a Republican. Because, you see, Mamma Mia, was a big election in America last week. Was a very close race between the two fellas. Mr. Truman win, Dr. Gallup lose. But now, American people forget all about the politics. Now they're interested in football. But it's a wonderful country when one day people fight about the politics, next day football, and I'm very happy to be here.
Only our country, Man Pasquale, who bring me to this country and who has Pasquale's Spaghetti Palace next door, he is unhappy. For him, only important campaign is for me to marry his daughter Rosa. Oh, Mamma Mia. If you see her, you know what means the word inflation. She weighs more than she's worth. If a fella marry her and the must carry bride into house after the wedding, he can't make it in one trip and must make it two trips. But I have my antique business, and I try to forget the Pasquale. This morning, just before my general manager, the 12-year-old bambino Jimmy O'Connor, go to school, I show him a sign that I paint myself. All right, Jimmy, we put this sign in the window. Then you go to school. How you like it?
Special fire sale. But, boss, you haven't had a fire.
I know, but tomorrow I must pay insurance, so today I have fire sale. How you like my printing, Jimmy?
Well, for a man who's only been here a little while, it's pretty good.
Sure. I don't write with the broken handwriting anymore. You tell my teacher, Miss Spaulding, huh?
Hey, boss, look who's coming.
Customer?
No, it's Mr. Pasquale. What does he want so early in the morning?
Same thing he wants later tonight. I should marry Rosa.
What are you going to say?
Same thing. No.
Maybe I ought to stay.
Don't worry, Jimmy. You go to school.
Luigi, my friend. Hello, Luigi. Hello, hello.
Hello, Pasquale.
Hello, Jimmy.
Goodbye, Mr. Pasquale. Goodbye, boss.
Study hard, Jimmy. Maybe one day you go to Electoral College.
Ah, he's a fighter boy. And you look a fighter, too.
The answer is no.
I didn't even ask you anything. You know the answer.
You're going to ask me to marry Rosa. The answer is no.
You think Rosa is the only thing out of my mind?
Si.
No, you out of my mind. Today, I'm just full of love for everybody, even you. No hard feelings, only sweet. And I'm going to prove it to you. How would you like to go to the opera tonight?
Opera? Oh, Pasquale, I don't hear opera since I leave Italy.
You like opera, eh?
It's a foolish question. It's like asking you if you like money.
All right. Here's the 2 tickets for the opera.
Free?
Free.
How much?
That's a matter for you. Why are you so suspicious? Here, you hold the ticket.
Okay, Pasquale.
Fine. Now you find a nice girl and you take her to the opera.
Okay, I call up Mrs. Spalding. She's a nice girl.
If I give you 2 tickets and I say find a nicer girl, I'm no mean a Spalding. I'm a mean a Rosa.
Then no more talk about a marriage.
Okay, no more talk about a marriage. We talk about opera. Okay?
Si. What opera is it?
Marriage of Figaro.
There you go again.
That's in the name of the opera. That's the matter for you. Go to opera here. Take a Rosa. Here's the 2 tickets.
If I take a Rosa, then I need 3 tickets.
Okay. So Rosa, she's a little fat. What else have you got against her?
Nothing.
Then why don't you marry my baby?
I'm in no position to marry.
So you're changing your position.
You don't understand. First place, I owe you $800.
Forget it.
It's very easy for me to forget. Trouble is, you always remind me.
Now, not today.
Then I have a little store. Is it just big enough for me and Jimmy?
I build you a new store. I even buy you new antiques.
Isn't that right? I don't want your money.
Please, Sir Luigi, don't let my money stand in the way.
Even if I love a Rosa, I don't marry her. I can't even afford to buy a girl a little present.
You marry Rosa, she give you a little present.
Look, Pasquale, all over the world is a custom. If fella gonna marry girl, he give her an engagement ring.
I don't believe in engagement. With me, get right down at the business. Put on a wedding ring.
I don't have a money for even for a wedding ring.
I buy you one.
No.
I ask my wife at Teresa, she lend you hers. She's to wear it long enough.
I'm much obliged. No, Pasquale, I don't marry Rosa unless I have to.
Is this your final statement of my
son? Yes.
Absolute positive final statement?
Yes.
And give me back my tickets. No marriage to Rosa, no marriage to Figaro.
But Pasquale, he's so angry he don't even close the door. Well, it's a nice day. Maybe I catch a little bit of air.
Oh, out of my way, bud!
Well, excuse me, mister. You don't see me, huh? He must have been in a big hurry. Hey, mister, you dropped something. Hey! Mamma mia, you dropped a diamond ring. Excuse me, lady. I find the ring, so I like to advertise in your newspaper here.
Yes.
See this ring?
It's a honey.
It's a diamond. I find it in front of my store.
Advertising department to your right.
Right.
What can I do for you, sir?
I like to put an ad in your paper.
Oh, good, good. How much space would you like?
I think one page is plenty.
A page? Yes. Well, won't you sit down?
Thank you.
May I have your name?
Basco. Luigi Basco.
Well, mine is Randall.
Hello.
What is the nature of your business, Mr. Basco?
Old and new antiques, also statues of colonial furniture.
And where are you located?
Next door to Pasquale Spaghetti Palace.
Where is that?
Next door to me.
Any credit or banking references?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, do you want to be billed for this or will you pay cash?
Oh, I pay cash.
A page, that will be $3,000.
$3,000. I don't know. It cost us so much. I don't think I'd take a page.
Well, how much would you like to spend? $1,500 or $1,000?
A little less.
Well, then how much would you like to spend?
$2.
What'd you say?
$2.
Yes. Yes, that's what I thought you said.
What's the matter? You angry?
No. I never lose my temper, no.
Well, it's all right. If you lose temper, all you have to do is put an ad and you find it again.
Thanks.
How big is this ad?
1 inch. Now, what do you want to advertise?
I find the ring today and I want to give it back.
A lost and found ad?
Just found. Other fella lost.
Might happen to you sometime. Why didn't you say so in the first place?
This is the first place I come to.
All right. Now, what kind of a ring is it?
Here.
An engagement ring.
See.
I see, all right.
You don't understand. When I say see, this means yes.
Yes, I understand.
But when I say see, this means look.
Whichever it is, what do you want to say in this ad?
Ladies and gentlemen. If somebody lose engagement ring, please come and see Luigi Basco, old and a new antiques at 21 North of Halsted Street. Open night and day, no appointment necessary. Only 2 blocks from elevated station, walk to corner...
You want to say all that for $2?
No. No.
Well, how can we fit all that in a 1-inch ad?
Use a small letters.
Well, 1-inch ad wouldn't hold more than about a dozen words.
Then what I say?
Well, let me see. Ring found in front of 21 North Halsted Street. Call Luigi Basco.
This first time I have a name in an American newspaper. Maybe I spend more money. Take more space.
Well, for $4, Mr. Basco, I can give you a 2-inch ad.
On the front page?
And I suppose you'd like us to run your picture for the same price.
Good. That's a good idea, Mr. Randall. Never so much I expect in America.
Look, Mr. Basco. For 2 inches, you get 25 words in the classified ad section. Now, will you please dictate it to me?
Then say, Luigi Basco, 21 North of Halsted Street, the dealer in new and used antiques.
You can drop that.
Drop what?
The antique stuff.
If I drop antique stuff, it'll break.
No, I mean omit.
Omit?
Yes, leave out.
Why?
Well, the antique stuff takes up too much room.
Oh, no, I got a bigger store.
Mr. Basco, please finish that ad. Remember now, 25 words.
All right. Luigi Basco.
Okay, that's 2 words.
21 North Halsted Street.
That's 6 words.
Who owns antique store?
10 words.
Found the diamond ring.
13. Remember, 25 words.
If owner tell me inside says John to Mary Winnetka. $1,946, I return the ring.
26 words. Mr. Basco, one too many.
Then make it 1,945.
Mr. Basco! No, never mind. Look, Mr. Basco, there's a fine newspaper across the street. They're our competitors. We hate them. There's $2 of my own. It's my lunch money. You go over there and give them the ad.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Randall. But I give you my business. And here's my $2.
Yes, well, thank you. And if you ever find anything again, keep it.
No. Oh, no. Honesty is the best policy.
Luigi, my friend. Hello, Luigi. Hello.
Hello, Pasquale.
Where you been?
Newspaper office.
What for? Never see a fella like you. Always going to some new place.
Is it like this, Pasquale? I explain to you. I find a ring.
You find a ring?
This morning, a fella bumped into me. He dropped a ring, he run away.
So you gave it to a newspaper?
No. My teacher, Miss Spaulding, she say, if you find the ring, you advertise in the paper. Same time, also advertising my business. Free.
What kind of ring?
This one.
Hey, that's a beautiful engagement ring.
Sure.
Where you find?
In the front of my store.
I bet you get a bigger reward.
Oh, I don't care.
I care. Who's your landlord?
You.
Well, if you find in front of my property, then we go 50-50, eh? Well,
I don't argue. If fella give me money, I give you half.
I'm only fooling you, Luigi. Who's interested in the money?
You.
No. No, Luigi. Is it come a time when a happiness is more important than a money?
Pasquale, you feel all right?
No.
That's what I think.
I'm an old man, Luigi. I'm already living my life. Pretty soon, I say goodbye to you.
Goodbye, Pasquale.
Don't be in such a hurry.
Then I wait.
How would you like to do one little favor for poor Pasquale before he's a kick in the bucket, eh?
Please, Pasquale, you're making me very sad.
Luigi, you're my countryman. I do you a favor, I bring you over. Now maybe you do me one favor before I say bye-bye.
I try, Pasquale.
For one little second, put that ring on a rose's finger.
You just a plain dead, Pasquale. You try to fool me.
I'm no fool of you, Luigi. I just want to see with my own eyes how roses look when she's wearing engagement ring. Then I die happy.
Is this a promise?
I give you my word. What do you say?
But, Pasquale, girl's name on the ring is Mary.
That's no problem. Mary! Mary! Rosa! Rosa! Come out to here and bring your finger with you.
You called me, Papa!
Look, who's here, Rosa?
Hello, Luigi.
Hello, Rosa.
Go ahead, Luigi. Put out of the ring.
Okay, Pasquale, but you promised Rosa to take it right off.
Please, Luigi, I'm a dyer.
So am I.
Put on a third finger, left hand.
Can't tell a difference. Is it too bad, Pasquale? The ring don't fit.
Stop breathing, Rosa. Now, both of us together. Push. Okay. Now you can breathe again.
Oh. I do your papa a favor. I make all men happy, Rosa.
I feel it 20 years younger already, my son.
Mamma mia.
Now you two is engaged.
Engaged? Is there no time to laugh, Rosa?
Is it your ring, Luigi, no?
No.
You find it, it's yours, that's the law.
I find the real owner.
You the real owner, my son.
Rosa, give me back the ring.
I see you put a ring on a Rosa's fingers with my own eyes. That's enough for me.
Please, Rosa, stop breathing. I pull off the ring.
What's the difficulty?
The ring. She's a stuck.
So are you, my son.
For the second act of Luigi Basco's adventures in Chicago, we turn to page 2 of his letter to his mother in Italy.
So, Mamma Mia, I'm in a big trouble. Pasquale talked me into putting ring on a Rosa's finger. Now ring won't come off. It's like trying to pull a cow out of milk bottle. So Pasquale is very happy. Like they say in America, he got to me over barrel. If ring don't come off Rosa's finger, then I must marry barrel. Now, with Rosa attached, owner no have to give me reward. I give owner reward.
Hello, Luigi. Hello, hello. Well, pretty soon now you're going to lead my Rosa down the bridal path.
Pasquale, I'm not going to marry Rosa.
You give Rosa a ring, you engage.
But it was not my ring, Pasquale.
If nobody shows up, it's your ring.
So what?
Put the two and the two together, what do you got?
Rosa.
Look, don't worry, Luigi. Maybe now you don't love Rosa, but when you marry her, she's a grow out of you.
I'm another flower pot, Pasquale. I put the ring on Rosa only to do you a favor.
That's right. That's what I tell everybody. Luigi Vasco, do me a big favor. He's a marrying of my Rosa.
You no right to tell people lie.
Okay, you don't want to marry Rosa? Take back of the ring.
I can't.
So you see, it's the truth. And don't worry, my son. Pretty soon you believe it, too. And I already make plans for the wedding. It's going to be the biggest wedding anybody's having this neighborhood. People's going to talk about it for years.
That's because I'm not going to be there.
You're going to be there. You'll be there, all right. All dressed up like a dummy in a window. Black coat, the stripes of pants, and a Rosa, she's going to be dressed in a white. And listen, Luigi, my wife, Teresa, she's now cooking up a smaller family dinner for tonight. I'll be back in a half an hour.
I'm not going.
Then Rosa's a comer for you. Instead of you carry her over the threshold, she's a carry you.
Mamma mia, I'm in a big trouble. Oh, here come a customer.
Is this 21 North Halstead Street?
Si.
You Luigi Pasco?
Si.
Okay, cough up that ring.
Please, mister. I'm not the swallow ring.
And hand it over.
You see my ad in the paper?
Yeah. Come on, quit gabbing.
How I know is your ring?
I'm the guy you bumped into.
Excuse me, you bump into me, then I holler.
Okay. Come on, let's have that ring.
First, you identify. What it say inside the ring?
John to Mary Winnetka, 1946.
Oh, you John?
No, I'm Mary. Come on, get going, Buster. We'll have trouble.
Got a plenty of trouble already.
If you're smart, you'll get rid of that hunk of ice fast. It's hot.
Hot ice?
Yes. Now, come on, stop stalling. You're talking to little Louie.
I don't have a ring. Rosa, she's got it.
Rosa? Who's she, the fence?
She's the whole backyard.
Come on, now, cut that double talk.
Please, you're choking me. Is it like this, Mr. Little Louie? I show Pasquale the ring, and he said to me
now, look,
that...
cut the conversation. I want that ring, or you wind up in cement.
Mamma mia, you're a sculptor.
No wisecracks. Come on, where's the ring?
I don't have... It's on a girl's finger.
And get it off her.
Please, give me a little time.
I'll give you 15 minutes. If that ring ain't here then, bud, you're dead.
Thank you. Pasquale.
Luigi, what's the matter? You're shaking it like a spaghetti in a hot water.
Luigi, I'm in a plenty of hot water. Pasquale. Owner of the ring, or was it just been in my store?
I don't believe in this. So what does he want?
Ring. Please, Pasquale, must take ring off Rosa's finger.
Oh, no. I don't trust you, Luigi. Once you take off, you never put him out again.
He's a very mean fellow, Pasquale. If I don't have a ring in 15 minutes, I'm dead. And then Rosa be widow even before she's married.
That's a pretty bad for you.
Please, Pasquale, I don't want to die before I get a citizen of papers.
That's a foolish talk. Is it not illegal for a dead man to vote?
Pasquale, you must pull a ring from Rosa's finger.
It's easier to pull a Lake of Michigan from a Chicago. But I help you, Luigi.
How?
When a man is a comer for the ring, if he don't find the ring, maybe he's a take the money.
But I don't got the money.
Luigi, I lend you the money. I don't want a condition.
Okay. I marry Rosa.
Here you are, my son. Give a man $100. That's a plenty for a ring like that. What do you say, my son?
Thank you, Papa.
Hey, look, there's Jimmy coming home from the school.
Hello, Mr. Pasquale. Hello, boss.
Hello, Jimmy. Soon are you going to be a flower girl?
What did Pasquale mean by that?
He means soon you're going to be a flower boy.
Huh?
Yes, Jimmy, I'm going to marry Rosa.
Oh, no, boss.
Oh, yes, Jimmy.
How did Pasquale hook you?
Here's a long story, Jimmy. I find the ring today and...
Ring?
You know about it?
Well, not about the one you found. But here's something in this afternoon's paper. Listen to this.
Hendricks home robbed. Bandits escaped with famous jewelry collection. Diamond ring stolen, valued at $20,000.
What else to say, Jimmy?
Inside the ring, there's an inscription. Married to John Winnetka.
1946. Mamma mia.
Hey, boss, how did you know that?
Quicker, Jimmy, call up the police.
Give me the police.
Put that phone down.
Who are you?
Detective Horan.
You got a wonderful police department. Very good service.
Never mind the wisecracks. Search a joint, Tom.
Right, Harry.
So you're Luigi Basco?
Yes, sir, Mr. Policeman.
You packing a rod?
I'm not in a rod of packing a business.
Now, where's that ring, Mr. Basco?
I know God.
Look, we just picked up little Louie, so you might as well come clean.
Nothing in there except some old furniture.
You look in the backyard?
Yeah.
Find anything?
About 30 Dewey statues.
Say, I sell them to you cheap.
Who helped you pull that big job?
Big job?
Stop stalling.
Only big job I know is the Rosa.
Rosa? Who's Rosa, the brains of the mob?
She looked like the whole mob.
Yeah, what'd you do with the ring?
Please, I tell you a whole story.
Take us down, Tom. Shoot, Luigi.
You shoot a Luigi and I can't tell him my story. This morning, I find a ring out the side of my store.
Look, little Louie told us all about it.
Hey, Luigi, did the fella come for the money?
Not yet.
Oh, at the ring, it's a looking so beautiful, at a rose, it's a finger.
Oh, yeah? Who's this guy?
That's the Pasquale.
Who'd you say was wearing the ring?
My little girl, La Rosa.
Oh, so you're in on this, too.
Hey, why are you asking so many questions?
We're from the police department.
Well, I'm a no buy, no tickets to the policeman's ball.
Pasquale, please, you're talking too much.
You'll talk more downtown. Tom, get the girl, Rosa. Maybe the gang will talk to the chief.
The chief?
Mamma mia, they still got Indians in Chicago.
Here they are, Mr. District Attorney.
Now, you, Mr. Basco, and you too, Mr. Pasquale. You'd better listen to me carefully.
Si.
Si.
Now, I've read the statements you two men gave the police, and I don't believe a word of it.
That's the truth to Mr. D.A., I swear. If I'm a liar, I hope for Luigi's to drop dead.
But it's all your fault, Pasquale. I tell you, no, try the ring on Rosa's finger. You say try.
If you marry my Rosa a long time ago, this don't happen.
Stop that private argument. You're going to talk yourselves into a long prison sentence.
Please, Mr. Attorney, I'm an honest citizen.
He's an honest citizen.
But when I get to my papers, I'm an honest citizen. Now I'm just honest Luigi. I do everything like law says. Law says don't step on the grass. Luigi don't step on the grass. Sign says don't feed animals. Luigi don't feed animals. Sign says one-way street. I walk one way. Sign says don't cross the street. So I'm in this country 1 year and I've never been on the other side of the street yet. All of my life, I only want to be in this country.
I understand, Mr. Basco. But this whole thing is incredible. I don't understand how a man like Mr. Pasquale can go to such lengths to get his daughter married.
If you see my little baby, you understand.
Bring her in, Horan.
Rosa! Rosa!
Yes, Papa.
Now I understand. Take him out, Horan. No charges.
Thank you, Mr. District Attorney.
Thank you.
Life with Luigi is a Cy Howard production and is written by Highcraft and Cy Howard and stars J. Carroll Nash as Luigi Basco with Alan Reed as Pasquale. Music by Wilbur Hatch. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You are listening to The Golden Age of Radio and Life with Luigi, starring J. Carroll Nash from 1948. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s. When The Golden Age of Radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. In a moment, the adventures of Babe Ruth from 1934 with sports reporter Steve Martin. Right now, here's an episode of Carolyn Day Detective as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Day Detective.
Agency, and I was determined to make a success of it. Larry objected strenuously, especially when he saw my taste in decor runs to gay colors and frilly things. It clinched his opinion that I just wasn't the type for a detective. He wanted me to quit the business and marry him. I refused, but almost immediately I wished I hadn't, because an ugly little man walked into my office, pointed a gun at me, and said,
"You're coming with me."
"Am I?"
"Yeah."
"Where?"
"You'll find out. Now get moving."
"But there must be some mistake. I don't even know you."
"Hey, you're
you.
Carolyn Day, ain't you?"
"Yes, but..."
"Well, there's no mistake. Now get moving. Hurry up, and no tricks. I'm warning you, I can be plenty repulsive when I got it."
"I can believe that."
"Especially when I got a gun."
"Well, I wish you wouldn't keep pointing it at me. It makes me nervous."
"Well, it would make me nervous if I didn't. Now let's go."
"Wait a minute. I've seen you somewhere before."
"Oh, no, you don't. I told you, no tricks."
"It's not a trick. I've seen you somewhere. I'm sure of it now."
"Okay, you seen me. Now let's go."
"I know. You used to come to the house to visit my father."
"Huh? Your father?"
"Yes. He used to know a lot of underworld I mean, he had a lot of acquaintances. You see, he was a detective."
"A detective? Hey, wait a minute. Carolyn Day."
"Yes."
"Day? Hey, are you Randy Day's daughter?"
"Yes. And now I know you're Bugsy Brown."
"Yeah, that's right." "Well, what do you know? Randy Day's daughter." "Hey, wait a minute."
"What's the matter?"
"She was just a little girl."
"I used to be a little girl, Bugsy."
"Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess you did at that. Gee, how time flies. Randy Day's little girl. You know, he was a swell guy, Miss Day. He used to lend me money between jobs."
"He liked you, Bugsy. He always hoped you'd go straight."
"I almost did, for his sake. But I decided not to, for my sake. I wouldn't have been no good at it."
"Well, Bugsy, now that we remember each other, won't you put that gun away?"
"Oh, sure."
"And now, what is it you want with me?"
"Oh, yeah, that. Well, I'm sorry, Miss Day. The boss says me and Luke, I should get you."
"Why?"
"I don't know. Honest. Luke is waiting down in the car right now. I don't know what to do."
"I wonder what they want with me."
"Well, whatever it is, it ain't good. This Luke, he's a very rough character. You better not go with us.
Well, thanks for the warning, Bugsy.
Yeah, but what can I tell Luke? You know, he's going to be awful sore.
Well, we'll think of something, Bugsy.
Well, we better.
Couldn't you just tell Luke that I wasn't up here?
Nah, he'd just wait.
Mm. Well, let's see. Oh, maybe we could... Oh!
Luke!
Yeah, I wondered what was keeping you.
Well, Luke, we...
What's the matter?
Nothing.
Okay, let's get going. Come on, sister.
Hey, now, wait a minute, Luke. I forgot something.
What?
This.
Oh, you.
I got him, Miss Day. I got him.
No, you don't. Do. That'll stop him.
Bugsy.
Try to explain to friends dear the reason we two are apart. I know what to tell our friends dear, but what will I tell my heart. It's easy to say to strangers that we played a game from the start. It's easy to lie to strangers, but what will I tell my when I smile too high, all the tears inside, what an ache it will bring. Then I'll wander home to a telephone that forgot how to ring. I could say you'll soon be back, dear. To fool the whole town, maybe smile. I'll tell them you'll soon back, dear. But what will I tell my heart. Tell them you'll soon be back, dear. But what will I tell my heart?
The United States Navy brings you the adventures of Babe Ruth. And here to tell you about the immortal Babe is the man who knew him so well, his pal, the popular sports reporter, Steve Martin.
There was a fellow called Harry the Hat, another one named Babe Ruth, and a young sports writer named Steve Martin. And there was a bit of feud which changed all of their lives. But before I tell you how the big fellow and I got to be lifelong friends when he saved my job and my future, maybe we ought to think about your future, too. And I'm talking to you young fellas of 17 or more. I've been in either the regular Navy or in the reserve since I was 17, and when I tell you that Navy life is a good life, I know what I'm talking about. It's not only good, but it's productive, important. It was in the Navy that my love of sports really blossomed, when I discovered that I should write about them as well as play them. And the same thing has happened to thousands of other young men. They've made lifelong friends, found their futures in their hometown Navy, the U.S. Naval Reserve. Yes, the Naval Reserve offers the opportunity to study a trade and at the same time enjoy membership in an organization that's made up of friends working and playing together while enjoying the great privilege of helping to keep America strong. Yes, sir, find out about your hometown Navy, the U.S. Naval Reserve. If you're over 17 and want to get in on a good thing, join the United States Naval Reserve, your hometown Navy. You can do it very easily by contacting your local Navy recruiting office.
You make a lot of sense to me, Steve.
Thanks, Jack.
Incidentally, you young men will want a copy of Play Ball Around the World, the intensely interesting booklet on Navy sports, which you can get without obligation at your local Navy recruiting office. And now, back to Steve Martin and the adventures of Babe Ruth.
I was a young reporter fresh out of Iowa, and my first big chance came when the sports writer of the New York News Syndicate picked me to be Babe Ruth's personal writer. I was on top of the world when I went to the Yankee Stadium to meet the big fella. It was almost game time, and he was alone in the clubhouse with a skinny, sharp-faced character. When I opened the door, it looked like I had walked in.
I'll piece you right in the nose. That's what I ought to do.
Let go of me, Ruth.
Next time I will, too. Only there better not be any next time. Come on now. Out you go.
Go, you big clown.
No, you won't do anything, you dirty little punk. Now!
Out you go. And don't come back.
I'll teach him.
Hey, who are you?
Well, my name's Steve Martin. I'm with the News Syndicate.
A reporter?
That's right.
What just happened isn't for publication. Get it?
Well, I was going to ask you, who was that character and what
You mean you don't know him?
No, you see, I'm pretty new around here.
Good, then forget all about it.
But what
Forget
happened?
It, I said. Look, Martin, I've got to get out in the field. But if it's an interview you want, I'll meet you after the game.
Well, it's not exactly an interview.
Huh?
I'm your new personal writer, Babe.
Huh? No, you're not. I've got a writer.
What do you mean? The syndicate just assigned me to the job.
Oh, yeah, they told me. Look, I'm sorry, kid. I had to tell him to call you off.
Why?
Well, there's a guy I worked with before, a friend of mine, see. I told the syndicate I'd kind of like to have him write my stuff.
Well, that's a dirty trick. The syndicate picked me.
Oh, now, don't get sore, kid. You're young yet. You'll get lots of other chances.
Don't give me that kid stuff. I'm as old as you are.
Okay. Like I said, I'm sorry. Now, I'll try to square it for you sometime. I've got to get out on the field now. So long.
Is that a big fella double-cross you too, huh?
Who are you?
Just call me Cully. I heard what happened in there. You know why Babe done you out of the writing job, don't you?
Sure. He wants it for a pal of his.
Uh-huh. You know who his pal is?
No, and I don't care.
Well, you ought to be in a reporter. It's Harry Bogan.
Who?
Don't you know who Harry Bogan is? Harry the Hat, they call him.
No, I don't know him. I haven't been in New York long.
No? Well, let me tell you about Harry. He used to be a big sports reporter. He had a column. In the Hat, he called it. But the trouble with Harry, he couldn't let the bottle alone. It got so bad, he not only lost his column, he couldn't hold a job.
What? You mean Babe Ruth turned me down for a washed-up booze hound?
Sure he did. What does Babe care about a nice young fella like you? He wants a guy like Harry around to go carousing around with at night.
Now, wait a minute. The sports writers tell me that Babe likes to have fun, but he lives clean and keeps himself in condition.
That's a lot of baloney. Why do you suppose he's in a slump? He ain't hitting the size of his cap.
Well, any player can get in a slump once in a while.
It's on account he's up all night with Harry the Hat having himself a big time. That's why he's slumping and why the Yanks are in fourth place.
Why, I can't believe it.
I can prove it.
You can?
Yeah. If I give you the facts, will you write them up for the papers in your syndicate? You can show them up to the whole country for the kind of guy he really is. Getting a big salary and not even keeping in condition. Letting down his team and all the fans. You call that playing square?
Well, no. If what you say is true, but
I told you I'd give you the facts, didn't I? Look, kid, this is your chance to get back at that double-crosser. And not only that, when you give the papers a scoop, you'll be a big-shot reporter. You won't have to beg Babe Ruth to let you write for him.
My instinct told me not to trust Cully. But I was so burned up at the raw deal I thought Babe had given me, I didn't listen to my instinct. Losing this job and the salary boost that went with it meant I would have to postpone my wedding to the girl back home. About a week later, my editor called me into his office.
Steve, a good reporter always writes the truth. He doesn't let his personal feelings color it.
What do you mean, sir?
Ever since Babe Ruth turned you down as his personal writer, you've been taking snide cracks at him in your stories. The big fella's the greatest ball player who ever lived, and he's a grand guy.
That's what you think.
And so does everyone else who knows him.
They're wrong, and so are you, as you'll find out.
What do you mean?
I'll have a big story for you any day now. It'll knock your eyes out, and it'll wake up every fan in the country. You just wait and see. Hello?
Steve?
Yes, who's this?
This is Cully. Listen, when are you going to write that story about the big guy?
I haven't got enough proof yet, Cully.
I gave you plenty of proof.
But most of it hasn't been firsthand. I've got to see for myself.
Okay, meet me at 79th and 2nd Avenue in half an hour. I'll show you.
I met Cully that night. And an hour later, I was back at the office pounding out the story that was going to ruin Babe Ruth and make me a star reporter. I felt a little sick writing it. But the arguments Cully had given me kept running through my mind.
He's getting the biggest salary in baseball, but he ain't even keeping in condition. He's letting his team down and the fans. You call that playing square?
I finished the story and looked at the clock. There was just time enough to make the morning editions. I dropped my story on the city editor's desk and went home, feeling a little sick again, as if I'd broken a beautiful statue. When I opened my door, the phone was ringing. Hello?
Steve, this is the city desk. We just got a flash. Babe Ruth went to West Side Hospital.
What?
Hop right up there and find out about it.
I made the hospital and nothing flat. It was the first reporter there. A nurse directed me to an anteroom where I found a tall, gray-haired man.
Yes?
Oh, excuse me, Father.
It's Brother, my son, Brother Matthias.
Brother Matthias?
Yes.
Oh, you're the man who taught the Babe to play ball at St. Mary's Industrial Home.
Oh, I gave him a few pointers, that's all. He was a natural ball player. Ah, poor Babe.
What happened to him, sir?
Nothing happened to him.
What? Well, then why
did... A friend who was very dear to him died. Harry Bogan.
Bogan?
Yeah.
Well, you mean Harry the Hat?
They called him that. He was a wonderful man.
Oh, yeah? He was a... Well, I'm sorry.
I understand. But judge not, my son. Perhaps, had you been in his place, you would have done as he did.
What do you mean, sir?
Harry had cancer.
Cancer?
Yes, incurable cancer. But he never complained. No one knew. No one even knew he had it. Except he and his doctor, Babe and I. That was why he sometimes drank, though. And why he could no longer hold a job.
Oh, the poor guy. I didn't know that he had...
He had been raised at St. Mary's, too, and he helped Babe a great deal when Babe broke into baseball. Babe never forgot it. And when he got a chance, he made Harry his personal writer. Of course, Harry did very little writing.
Who did?
Babe.
Babe?
Yeah, it was pretty hard work, too. Babe isn't an easy writer. And after a tough ball game and... then trailing poor Harry around town half the night to see that nothing happened to him. Well, Babe often sat up until morning writing Harry's stories for him.
So that's it. And I thought that...
I told him it was no wonder his betting average slumped.
Great Scott, what a fool I've been.
You, my son?
Yes, me. I ought to have my head examined. I ought to... Wait, what time is it?
5:40.
Oh, it's too late. The story's gone to press. The papers will be on the streets in a few minutes.
What story?
The story that'll finish the big fella and me, too.
I don't understand.
I don't know what I can do now, but I've got to get back to the office. Goodbye, Brother Matthias. Good. Sure. You mean you didn't print my story about Babe?
No, Steve. Fortunately, we had a call from the district attorney in time.
The district
His
attorney?
His men have been watching a racketeer and gambler named Cully Wilson. And the D.A. told me that you were seen with Nelson last night.
Well, yes, you see, I...
The D.A. wanted to know all about you. Seems that Cully Nelson tried to bribe Babe Ruth to throw a series. The big fellow threw him out in his ear, of course, and then reported the incident to the police. Well, I put two and two together and figured that Cully wanted to get back at Babe and fed you this phonus balonus about Babe being a bum. And you, being young and green, had fallen for it. So I held up the story until I could check with you. Now, was I right?
Oh, yes, sir. I don't know what to say, except... Well, I'm a sore head and a chump, and... Oh, shucks, I wish I was dead. I'll clean out my desk and go back to Iowa, sir.
Hey, not so fast, Steve Martin. Huh? I want to talk to you.
Babe! I had to tell Ruth about this, Steve.
Yeah, sure, I understand. Well, babe, go ahead, sock me. I've got it coming.
Oh, no, I'm no dummy. If I sock you, you won't be able to work for a week. I can't stay up any more nights writing newspaper stories. I've got to sleep so I can start hitting again.
What do you mean?
What do you suppose I mean? You're my writer, aren't you?
Me?
Sure.
Oh, wait, babe. You can't be serious.
Why not? Didn't you tell me that Steve here has the makings of a great sports writer?
Well, yes, but that was before...
Oh, he made a mistake. I've made lots of them. Haven't you ever made any?
Yes, of course.
Okay, but... so forget it, and everybody be happy. When are you ready to come to work, Steve?
Well, by any time, I guess, babe.
Well, right now.
But, I don't know how to say it, babe.
Oh, forget it. I had a hunch the first time I saw you, we were going to be pals. Come on now, let's you and I go get something to eat. And I'll go to sleep, and you go to work. And that's the way it's going to be from here on in. Okay?
Okay, babe. And thanks. There's a wonderful spirit in young fellas. I had it. All you young fellas have it. You want to get ahead. You want to be somebody. To have knowledge and skill that'll bring you success and security and a feeling of accomplishment. Well, I'll tell you right now, you can get all that and more in your hometown Navy, the United States Naval Reserve. You'll make new friends. You'll be trained and trained well in any one of the many Navy skills. You'll have a chance for advancement. And by golly, if you stay with it a while, you'll be eligible for retirement pay besides. From my own experience, I know these things are true. And besides, you have that good feeling inside that you're doing something that's really worthwhile.
That's absolutely right, Steve. And remember, fellows, don't forget to get your copy of Play Ball Around the World. It's an exciting, colorful, interesting book that tells the whole story of Navy sports. And you can get it free simply by asking for it at your local Navy recruiting office. Well, Steve Martin, what have you got coming up next week?
Well, I've got a honey about a goat, Jack.
A goat?
Yeah, a goat named Sweet William who won a flag for the Yankees. See you all next week.
The Adventures of Babe Ruth is produced by Woody Close, directed by Ronald Dawson, written by Ben Freeman, and brought to you by the United States Navy.
Golden Age of Radio on WMKY and The Adventures of Babe Ruth from 1934. We also heard Arthur Prysock sing What Will I Tell My Heart from 1951 and an episode of Carolyn Day Detective. This has been the Golden Age of Radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows. On the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at the same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.